Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes through your podcast app or subscribe via the feed link on the website. This week, the Chinese waitress cast on, spikelets cowl, knit one, post one, and good bad news with related retail opportunity. Hello and welcome to episode 57. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. I hope you've had a good week on the needles. I've ticked off a few projects, and as a project knitter, I do like ticking things off. I'm the same with shopping lists and to-do lists and all that sort of thing. The three face cloths that I wanted to make are now all completed, and I have a plan for how I'm going to present those. My husband is an occasional, I must stress, occasional cigar smoker. He'd love to be a more frequent cigar smoker, but it's an expensive habit. And we have several really beautiful boxes that cigars came in, and they're really, really decorated. They're just lovely things, and they're really, really sturdy. And I thought that if I rolled up each of the face cloths and tied them with a vaguely appropriate colour ribbon, I could then put them inside one of these boxes. And if the box just gets discarded, it doesn't really matter because I've just got a stack of them sitting in my office. And I thought, oh, it's as good a use for them as anything else. And they hinge at the back. So they're really rather nice. They remind me of old-fashioned sort of medieval book boxes and that sort of thing. So that's my plan for those. And the spikelets cowl is also now fully completed. As I talked about last week, I have several projects on the go at once, which is something I usually try to avoid as I'm trying to knit some things in conditions of secrecy. But now that I've finished spikelets cowl, which is for my sister-in-law, and therefore I was able to knit in front of anybody, I'm now slightly at a loss because the only other two things that are my next two projects, I can't knit in front of my children. So I'm going to have to come up with something that I can do. I know I had considered, I'd considered doing a fourth cloth for my mum, but I've just remembered that my husband needs a hat. So I might get on with that because that doesn't need to be a Christmas present. The Chinese waitress cast on. I had never heard of this before. Have you heard of it? I came across it as I was looking for a stretchy cast on for the spikelets cowl. I've never done it before and I had no sort of idea what sort of situation it would come in handy. But as I was Googling a stretchy cast on, not for the first time, I wound up at Liat Gat's Knit Freedom site. I've used her tutorials and her patterns previously, and in fact, it was one of her patterns that I used for my first ever pair of toe-up socks on Magic Loop. And I went and did my homework, and that was 4.5 years ago. So I really recommend Liat. That's Knit Freedom. So the Chinese waitress cast on has the benefit of not only being very stretchy, but also very pretty. I don't know about you, but I get a bit boggled when I'm starting a new cast on. I watch the video because I find a video tutorial is much more useful than written or just photographs, and I don't know why. So sometimes I watch somebody doing it and I think, yeah, I'm with you. Oh, how did you do that bit? You know, and there's one little bit and you just cannot see how the yarn gets from A to B. But this one was different. It took me just a couple of goes to be motoring along with it confidently, and I can't stress how unusual that is for me. So it looks really complicated, but it really is quick to learn. It's a little bit fiddly because you have to bind off stitches with your fingers and then turn stitches round on the needle, but don't let that put you off. I know if somebody said that to me, I'd think, oh God, that sounds like a faff, but you get into a real groove with it. So really don't let that put you off. It zooms along once you get going. So when I did it for the first time, after the first 10 or so stitches, I could see that my tension was all over the place. So I just pulled them out and started again, paying a particularly close attention to keeping close attention to keeping the tension on the slightly tight side. Now, that feels counterintuitive for a stretchy cast on, and you think it's the last thing you want to do, but actually it still leaves it stretchy. I had 120 stitches to cast on, so that was quite enough to motivate me to make sure I got it right. The end result is lovely. And when I finished the cowl, I did it's Judy's Magic Cast On, isn't it? And Jenny's stretchy bind off anyway. In fact, this pattern recommends that bind off, but I would have done that bind off anyway. Jenny Stallman. Between Judy's Magic Cast On and Jenny Stallman's sort of magic bind off, I can never quite remember exactly what's what, but it's Jenny Stallman. I think that's Jenny with one N. It's her stretchy bind off that I use for socks, and it's just brilliant. It basically involves a yarn over at every stitch that you cast off, and it's lovely. So you've got the pretty, slightly almost plaited looking Chinese waitress cast on at the bottom of the cowl, and then you've got the slightly frilly, I suppose is the word, Jenny's super stretchy magic supercalifragilistic cast off bind off at the top, at the chin end of the cowl. So I'm really happy with how it looks. I wouldn't do a full-on pattern review for something so small, but it advertises itself, I think, as a project to use up something like 100 grams of yarn, and it's knit-in Aran yarn, and it's great. It involves cabling, which it's not difficult, but it, to me, something with cabling in it, lots of cabling, and this does have quite frequent cabling, is it interrupts you. It always feels like a bit of a hump because you've got to introduce the cable needle, because I wasn't brave enough to do it without a cable needle. It mattered too much. Time is slightly of the essence, and it's a present, so I just use the cable needle, Heather. But still, it really didn't take me very long, and it comes out very nicely. It looks a little bit peculiar to begin with. You maybe think, I'm not sure I've got this right, but it is right, and it looks nice. Initially, because I wanted to make sure I got the counting right, it's one of those patterns that goes in chunks of a certain number of stitches. Off the top of my head, I can't remember how many, but maybe 16 or 20 stitch repeat of purl and knit, and every so often cabling, both purling and knitting, purling and knitting cabling. And I really didn't want to start getting lost about where I was. So when I first, after I'd done the first little bit of rib, I put in stitch markers at every point where that repeat of stitches came to an end, so that I always knew I'd only ever be 16 stitches wrong, or 20 stitches wrong, or whatever it was. And that system worked really well for me to begin with, but I found after a few rows, maybe 10 or 15, that I was getting laddering. I can't understand why that should be, because these stitch markers are really slim and I was making a real effort. It's one of those where at the end of the set of stitches you've knitted and you begin the next set with 3 purl stitches, and that's always a danger zone for laddering. And even though I try really hard, I mean, I've been known to actually snap the yarn and pulling it so tight in an effort to prevent that laddering or that sort of ballooning of the yarn, but it was still happening. So by that point, I think I'd gone through almost an entire set of the pattern, because you more or less do the decorative part of the pattern 3 times. You do 3 sets of it. And I was almost through the first set, and I felt that at that point, if I took the stitch markers out, I would know if I was doing the wrong thing in the wrong place. And things like, at every point, I think it ended with knit 4, and then the next set started with purl 3. And you know what it's like with a pattern, it sinks into your head, and so it was fine. And in fact, I mean, only about once or twice did I find that I'd slightly gone wrong. Sometimes after I had done purl 3, I would want to do knit 3, and it was usually purl 3, knit 4. So that was easy, and it just zoomed along, quite honestly. There's quite a lot of knitting even. Knitting even, as you know, it's when you, as you come round, you knit the knits and purl the purls. So that's nice and simple. And so although there were, in each set of rows that make up the pattern, I think there were at least 4 rows which involved a lot of cabling, but there were also lots and lots and lots where you could just zoom along. So it's a great little project. It looks really nice and I would thoroughly recommend it. So that's the Spikelets cowl. So, good bad news. Do you know what this is? Have you had good bad news? It's when something is essentially, oh, that's a shame. Initially you think, oh, that's a bit of a pain, spanner in the works. And then you think, oh, actually, that this particular cloud's got a silver lining. So my first piece of good bad news is that I've noticed over the last week, well, last couple of weeks, that when I've been feeling a little bit prickly across my back and shoulders when I wear something that's made from acrylic. Now, it doesn't matter whether I've made it myself or whether it's a shop-bought item. And it occurred to me the other day, as I wriggled and squirmed inside Pasadena, that it felt like I was wearing wool, which I'm allergic to. So I googled, and lo and behold, it turns out that contact dermatitis from acrylic is a thing. I'm one of those people anyway. I get hay fever and I'm allergic to milk, and you know, I'm just one of those people who sort of is made that way. And I'll spare you the gory details, but to know that it's likely acrylic that's been causing me some of the problems I've been having recently is quite a relief, because I can just stop wearing it. On the other hand, because of my wool issues, a good 75% of my stash is acrylic, and now it's effectively no use to me. Also, I now can't wear the two cardigans I made myself recently, plus Ivy that I made at the beginning of the year. The two cardigans I made recently, I have very mixed feelings about. It's not the end of the world that I can't wear them. I'm a little bit more disappointed about Ivy, just because it's warm and it was incredibly involved, all that twisted rib, but nonetheless. So because I have now a lot of acrylic, which I can't use, I'm even having the problem, it's been making my hand sore, so not only can I not wear it, but I can't knit with it. Whereas with wool, I can usually knit with it, because my husband's fine with wool. And bizarrely, I've actually been wearing blue nitrile gloves since we worked it out, and my hand's healing up. So sadly, I do have a huge sensitivity to acrylic, so I don't even want to knit with it, never mind wear it. So I have marked all of my acrylic stash for trade or sale on Ravelry. I've already sold 3 skeins. I like to see yarn go to a good home, so if you're interested in anything, please let me know. I know acrylic is not people's favourite, and I know that serious knitters wouldn't touch it with barge pole, but it really does have its uses. If you're knitting stuff for kids, if you're knitting toys, if you're knitting ornaments, you know, let's not be snobby about it. Acrylic has its place. The grey and black DK I have in large enough quantities for a jumper, and I have similarly large quantities of the green and the blue-white Aran. So just inquire. You can see the sort of the bare details of the stash on Ravelry, but if you'd like some more information, if you'd like me to weigh something for you, I'm really happy to do that. I am not looking for megabucks on this at all. I'm just looking for a quid or two maximum for a skein, plus whatever it costs me on postage. When I sent off the last lot, I rather underestimated the postage. Didn't come out particularly on top from that transaction, but that's all. I'm really not looking to make a lot of money. Or alternatively, I'm very happy to swap for similar volumes of cotton or something like that. So I've got loads. Please do go and have a look. I'll put a link to my stash in the show notes, but that's Ordinary Knitting on Ravelry. And please don't hesitate to ask any questions. I've submitted a question to the Very Pink podcast asking for recommendations of different types of yarn that behave in a similar way to wool or acrylic. Although wool and acrylic are different beasts in their own way, they both have that sort of fluffy, kind of cuddly quality. You know, you contrast it with bamboo or cotton and they feel very different. So I've asked just for recommendations to see what sort of fibres would behave in the same way, especially when the reason that I'm not using wool or acrylic is just because I can't, well, in the case of certainly acrylic, not only can I not wear it, I can't handle it. And with wool, I can't wear it. So my immediate quandary was what to do about the projects I had on the go. Wearing the gloves has largely solved that. It was fine for spikelets because it's a short project. One of the hot water bottle covers I have started, and I am using the purple acrylic. I think probably I'm just going to stick with it, but it is a bit of a faff. The gloves were bought for my husband's use, and his hands are a lot bigger than mine, so the gloves, he said, oh, the gloves are a really, really good fit, and I thought, oh great, of course forgetting the fact that his hands are about half as big again as mine. So I've got, you know, squidgy bits on the ends where there's no finger but a bit of glove, but it's actually been surprisingly okay. But the yarn drags a little bit on the glove as it is effectively, you know, sort of gliding over my hands. Well, it's not gliding, it's dragging a bit. So I think I'm probably just going to carry on with the one hot water bottle cover that's in acrylic. But for the second one, I've more or less decided I'm going to buy some cotton. I didn't want to use this as an excuse to just rush out and buy a load of cotton yarn, because that would have been so easy. My second piece of good bad news is that a set of circular needles I've been using as an emergency measure has begun to split where the cable joins the needle. These are some 4mm bamboo fixed circulars that I bought early on in my knitting career, and they've been a pain from the outset as the cable is the same diameter as the needle. That's one of those things that in my early knitting days just wouldn't have occurred to me as an issue. So it's just a rookie mistake, if you like. Because the cable is the same diameter as the needle, I'm always battling the friction as I knit items in Magic Loop, and it's just been horrible. I had to use them because I need my KnitPro Nova cubics for the ribbing at each end of the spikelets cowl, and I couldn't have them in use on the hot water bottle cover and then find I couldn't finish the spikelets. And I know, yes, with beauty of circulars is you can unscrew them from one thing and put them onto something else, but I was being a bit lazy really. So I used these other ones and then discovered I could just feel this sort of extra, not only have you got the friction, but I could feel this something extra was getting in the way of moving the yarn, and had a closer look, and I could see that the plastic cable was just starting to do that thing where it sort of yawns away from the non-pointy end of the needle. So I've now that I've finished spikelets, I have with absolute joy knitted the hot water bottle cover onto my KnitPro Nova cubics instead, and they're now, the stitches are just gliding along. Those needles really are such an absolute joy to use. It's made me think that Father Christmas might want to know that I really love my KnitPro cubics. They've been proven, and maybe some 5mm, you know, maybe. Knit One, Post One. Have you heard of this? It was a project run by Bletchley Park, which, for those of you that don't know, is the National Museum of Computing, and it's where the National Museum of Computing is located, and Bletchley Park itself has in recent years become famous as the place where the government code and cipher school was located during the Second World War. Well, and previously, actually prior to that as well. So it's where the Enigma code was cracked, Alan Turing worked there. So it's got absolutely fascinating history, combines a lot of things that I'm interested in. I've never actually been, it's on the other side of the country from us. So it's one of those places I always want to go to, and I've always meant to take the children, but I can see it's just going to slip through my fingers. But Bletchley makes a great deal of its 1940s heyday. And it's just an example of how to run a heritage attraction in terms of the leverage they get from when it was, what it is that's interesting about it, and when it was at its height. The actual building doesn't have much architectural merits, but a Victorian monstrosity, to be honest. But they're constantly having events, and they have vintage events, they have 40s themed events, but also they have to dress the relevant parts of the building and all the huts that they've been renovating. I can't stress enough how interesting it's been listening. I listened to the Bletchley Park podcast. It's been so interesting hearing about everything they've been doing to try to bring the wartime stories alive. I could go on for hours. I'll spare you in case you're not interested. But anyway, because they have to dress the various parts of the building in an authentic way, they asked for knitters to help them, to provide authentic vintage clothing, or authentic vintage style clothing. I'll just read you how they describe it. Calling all knitters. Bletchley Park are looking for knitters to take part in our Knit One, Post One campaign to help set dress our historic code-breaking site. We need hand-knit garments and accessories from authentic 1940s patterns, specifically cardigans, hats, mittens and gloves, for our set dressing collection. We're happy to recommend patterns from free online sources by request. Items will be put on display in the set-dressed areas of the park, such as the code-breaking huts and the mansion. Now, I'll admit that one of the things that really appealed to me about this was that anyone who sent in an item got a free season ticket. And it still would have been on the wrong side of the country, but somehow it might have made it more likely to get there. So I really wanted to take part. I initially signed up and I got sent an email with a link to various sort of patterns, but it was at a point in the summer where I had so much else going on that in the end, regretfully, I just had to decide that I couldn't take part in it. I think it's now closed. Yes, it says here, an update. Thank you to everyone who responded. We've been overwhelmed by your interest and can't take any new applications at present. I'm not surprised they've been overwhelmed. It's such a fantastic project and I would have loved to have contributed, but it was the right project at the wrong time, sadly. But it has made me think how fascinating it would be to take part in just something along similar lines. So I'll maybe keep an ear to the ground. And if I hear about anything else like this, I'll share it. I think when it first came out, yeah, this post is dated June. I think it's when I was struggling with that enormous jumper for my husband and I slightly lost my mojo. So I wasn't podcasting very much and the opportunity to mention it just passed. But if you are anywhere near Bletchley, it's in Bedfordshire, sort of Milton Keynes, or if it's somewhere that you can get to, I thoroughly recommend that you go along and see if you can spot the hand-knitted items. I'm so delighted they've had a really good response to their appeal. That's me for now. Life is extraordinarily busy at the moment, so I'm not quite sure when I will be back. But in the meantime, happy knitting, and you know what is really not very far away now. Bye!